This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Originally from India, now in D.C., from Brazil, we have Abhay K. And he is going to read an opening poem.
Soul Song. This was my first poem. I was always here as blowing wind or falling leaves, as shining sun or flowing streams, as blooming buds or chirping birds, as blue sky or empty space. I was never born. I didn't die.
Abhay K, and he is our special poet today. Tell us about the philosophy behind that poem and all of your poetry.
This is at the heart of Indian philosophy, that each of us have souls. Our bodies die, we pass away, but our souls, they do not. They are immortal. And this poem came to me while I was walking in Delhi University. And I felt as soul itself is speaking to me, telling me about its immortality. And I remember when I was in school, I used to study Sanskrit. And there was a sloka, Sanskrit sloka. A sloka is a poem. Nanam chindanti sastrani, nanam dahati pavaka, nanam kledyati, nanam sosayati maruta, which had the same essence, that the soul cannot be burnt in fire, it cannot be pierced by any weapon, it cannot be wet by water, it cannot be dried by air. And I think that essence comes in this poem.
It is absolutely beautiful. So give us another poem. Abhay K.
Come. Come as monsoon rains to a parched land of summer, or softly as spring with new leaves and bird song. Come roaring as a volcano, exuding plumes of gas and lava, or shaking with great force as an earthquake. Come gently as sea breeze, or stealthily as a lover at night. Come playing flute as Krishna or Kali with a garland of skulls. Come exploding as a supernova or as a black hole devouring all. Come as elixir of life or as death nectar.
What I like so much are your word choices, which are like lullabies, and then you surprise us in the middle with very muscular words like exploding. So you get so much energy in one small poem. I'm going to tell them a little bit about who you are, but you'll find out a lot more because I'm just learning in the last 5 minutes that you can speak five languages, which and translate poetry in all of those languages.
Thank you.
Abhay K. is the author of two memoirs. His life apparently has been twice as rich as most people, and he has seven poetry collections. He's editor of Capitals, and that's a Bloomsbury collection that puts out really physically beautiful books. And also the book 100 Great Indian Poems by Bloomsbury. And he's received the Sark Literary Award for 2013. And his poems have appeared in many literary magazines. But more importantly is his voice. And that is what we want to hear. One more poem.
I take you to St. Petersburg, Russia, where I spent 5 years. Anna Akhmatova, your requiems, meditations, condemned and censored. Your loved ones disappeared one by one without a trace. Lovers and husbands came your way like storms. Gumilev, Modigliani, Mandelstam. Friends left you for greener pastures, and you turned into a poem without a hero.
What is the last line again?
And you turned, friends left you for greener pastures, and you turned into a poem without a hero.
That is something else. You are really a very unusual and special poet. Tell me a little bit about your studies in India, in the university. What was your, were you majoring in English? Were you majoring in literature, philosophy? What is your background?
I studied geography at the university, which surprises most of the people. Also in post-graduation, I studied geography. I have not formally studied literature, but I did take a course at the University of Iowa, an online course in writing poetry.
Well, poets are born, they're not made, and I think you are surely wired as a poet. You have come here today from Brazil, where you are in the diplomatic corps. You were born in India. You were in the diplomatic embassy in St. Petersburg, Russia. You're on your way to Mexico tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about these places. First, which has been the most favorable one to live?
I have lived and enjoyed each and every place I have been to, because I feel the whole planet is my home. I don't have this sense of a foreign country. So wherever I go, I feel as I belong to that place.
But can you get Indian food in Russia?
Yes, very much in everywhere nowadays.
But you're with the embassies in each one of these countries.
Yes.
And take us back to your beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in a district called Nalanda in the east of India, the state of Bihar. And I was born in a small village by a river called Paimar. And I started studying in the government schools, you know, primary school, secondary school. In the high school, I was at a nearby town called Rajgir. And then I worked my way up to the state capital, Patna. And then I came to India's capital, Delhi.
Do you feel you were an exceptional student, or that the school system was quite exceptional? Do you feel that your education is partly because of your circumstances or because of your personal qualities?
I think both, because my father was a teacher. He was a teacher in a primary school at the village. And he was completely devoted to education, not only education of his children, but also the education of the whole village, in the sense he sort of inspired other villagers to send their kids to the school. And
was it optional whether or not the children went to school?
Those days it was optional. So he did his best that children from children of our neighbors, they went to school. So he made that, he tried to persuade them that, you know, if you educate your children.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
And I mean, and the schooling system was very good, in the sense that I have studied throughout in those schools. And
you have a remarkable fund of knowledge. So it's partly, I think, what you came with and partly what they gave you. Just in one sentence, what was the village like? Was it a beautiful place?
It was a beautiful place, you know, living with nature, where you could go out and play with kids. I mean, in cities, you don't find other kids to play with you. But in village, you could just go out in the evening.
Have your parents known about your poetry?
Yes, my mother, who is still alive, I send her a copy of my new books, and she gets delighted seeing the covers.
And your new book is The Prophecy of Brazil?
Yes, that's my latest book.
And then you have The Eight-Eyed Lord of Kathmandu.
Yes.
And an anthology.
Yes, 100 Great Indian Poems. which I edited, published this year.
Just this year.
Yes.
This is Abhay K. with more poetry. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri.
I should read a poem. It's called Shanti Path, which means the path of peace. It's a road in New Delhi where embassies are located. Crows on lamp posts caw with unknown sadness, bidding farewell to the setting sun. A flock of parrots rockets across the clear sky. Trees abudge with chirps of miners. There, two rows of embassies, as two banks of the river of peace, flow to the world capitals from Raisina Hill.
So these embassies, although they are stately marble pillars of diplomacy, still have a kind of a beating heart in your poem.
Yes, I see them as sort of the banks of a river of peace, and the road as a river. So, and that flows from Raisina Hill is like Capitol Hill, where India's president lives, the secretariats are located.
You've been in the diplomatic corps how long?
It's been 15 years since I joined the Indian Foreign Service.
How many countries?
I have served in Russia, in Nepal, and in Brazil.
And what was daily life like in Russia?
Russia was the first thing that comes to mind. My mind is lots of snow.
That's exactly what I think too.
And also lots of darkness because it's dark for a long period of time. But then also this inner sense of illumination, because when the light goes outside, your inner light starts gets lighted. You know?
Your inner light.
Yes.
I wish we could say that of everyone.
Yes, so I think I wrote a lots of poems in Russia, and my first three books are based there.
Well, that's interesting. So you must have actually had more solitude or more time there.
Yes, I wrote my first memoir after arriving in Moscow.
Why are there two memoirs? Are they chronological?
No, one memoir is about my first 25 years of life, how I grew up in a village, and how education and democracy has brought changes, great changes in India.
Oh, that would be fascinating.
And the second memoir is about my time spent with artists in St. Petersburg. I'm also a painter.
I know.
And I spent a lot of time with artists painting and looking at their work and interacting with them. So at the end of my tenure in St. Petersburg, I wrote a small memoir about the art life of St.
Petersburg. What's the title?
It's called Colors of Soul.
Well, this is Abhay K., and he is a man of the world, but the world is also within him. So we want to hear another poem.
So I take back you to Delhi, and this is a poem called Parikrama, and it's a name of a restaurant, which is a revolving restaurant. Parikrama means revolving. Parikrama. My eternal city, every midnight I see you, with clear eyes, cherish your contours, your changing skyline, your shimmering lights, your shades of darkness. I sense your changing mood, your lingering lust for blood and wealth, and your deadliest addiction, power.
I guess as a diplomat, you have a healthy knowledge of what power can do. But How do you describe diplomacy? Is it not to soften the earth?
President JFK, John F. Kennedy, said, "When power corrupts, poetry cleanses." And I think this sense of balance is very important. The balance of hard and soft. Poetry represents the humane side of human beings, the soft side of human beings, the gentle side of human beings. And I think also makes us aware of the limitations of power.
And I believe you bring a great contribution to that field of diplomacy and poetry. I would like to know how your art affects your writing. I think you are a sculptor as well, right?
I'm a painter, not...
Oh, a painter.
Yes.
And is it oil paints?
Yes, mostly oil paints. Most of my paintings are symbolic in the sense they represent a new age, a new consciousness, what I call planetary consciousness, that we as human beings are as much part of the planet or belong to the planet as much we belong to our villages, towns, and cities. And nations.
And you see the planet as your village.
And I see planet as my home. I see it as a beautiful home going freely in space. That's why I call it a cosmic oasis. Because if you look around in cosmos, it's vast and it's desert. There's nothing out there. 9 planets, no life on other planets. But you have Earth, which is like a huge oasis in the vast desert of cosmos.
Is there a good art scene in Russia?
Yes, very good art scene in Russia. Russia is very rich in, I think, has great artists.
Abhay K is bringing us a wealth, and part of it is on the page. So let us hear.
I would take you to one of my favorite 18th century poets of Delhi, Ghalib. And it begins with a little quote from his poem, which is engraved on his tomb. Na tha kuch to khuda tha, na hota kuch to khuda hota, duboya mujhko hone ne, na hota main, to kya hota? Which translates as, when there was nothing, there was God. If there was nothing, there would have been God. Being has ruined me. If I did not exist, what would have been? And the poem, months of journey on bullock cart, palki, boat, tanga, ekka, and whatnot. Delhi, Kanpur, Lucknow, Allahabad, Banaras, Banda, Patna, Murshidabad. Finally, Calcutta. Then, an endless wait to petition Lord Amherst. Double my paltry pension of rupees 62. I returned to Shahzahabad, scorned, derided, my family debt-ridden, my dignity robbed. My brother died in my arms. None of my sons survived. I turned into a stone, wrapped in human skin. Then came the worst, the massacre of Delhi. My friends were butchered. I alone survived to take down their corpses hanging from the trees, from lampposts, to usher them into their graves, to lament my destiny. The massacre of Delhi in 1857 left a large population of Delhi dead, and Ghalib was a leading poet of his generation at the court of the last Mughal emperor. And this is a poem about his life, what happened to him.
It's a stunning poem. Who perpetrated the disaster?
This disaster happened because of the historical circumstances. It was the last Mughal emperor who was still there. And the East India Company was already marching ahead, and this 1857, there was in 1857 a massacre. It's a famous or infamous massacre of Delhi.
Of the old regime and the new regime?
Regime, yes, in which a lot of people died. It was followed by removal of the last Mughal emperor from the throne.
I see. A coup d'etat and worse.
and the British took over in 1857. The British crown, British queen took over the
reins. The colonists came.
Yes.
Now we know the transition.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's that critical period of, and Ghali was alive that time.
Very, very significant turning point in history for India.
Yes.
Yes. And Abhay K is here to tell you about things of the world and things of the heart. And here's another poem.
I would take you to Borges, back in Latin America. I have been traveling, I've been living in Latin America since past 3 years.
Did you learn Spanish by virtue of living there?
I learned Portuguese because I've been living in Brazil and I speak Portuguese now.
Because of living there?
Yes.
So you learned Russian because of living there?
Living there, yes.
I see.
And Nepali when I was staying in Nepal. One poem from Nepal, so that I cover Nepal as well. And it's a famous festival of Dasain, which lasts 10 days long and is a major festival of Nepal.
And you've been there?
I was in Nepal for 3.5 years,
from
2012 to 2015. And this is a poem, Dasain. It's also celebrated in many parts of India as Dasehra. Barley seeds sown in a bed of sand, thick wick butter lamps lit in every home, spring swings everywhere, ecstatic children know no greater joy. Yellow barley leaves have arrived in a palanquin from Gorkha to Kathmandu. Goats tethered in every courtyard bleat beneath kukri's slash. Army officers command the sacrifice of buffaloes. Big guns are ready to fire off booming rounds. Military bands play war tunes to appease bloodthirsty Kali. Streams of blood flow from temples and courtyards. Relatives arrive from far, a mix of bright vermilion, curd and rice shine on their foreheads with a dash of coal drawn from the soot of butter lamps. The doors of Taleju open today. Revelries will linger on till the full moon.
Does that festival still occur?
Yes, it happens every year. It's a major festival of Nepal.
And they still sacrifice the animal?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And what is the purpose of the sacrifice?
It's to appease the goddess Kali.
Mm-hmm. Let's have another.
I would take you to Latin America, Borges, and it begins with a quote. I know of one Greek labyrinth, which is a single straight line. Along that line, so many philosophers have lost themselves. Jorge Luis Borges, Death and the Compass. Poem. Looking for Borges, I came to Argentina. I found him nowhere. I searched all the libraries, all the labyrinthine streets of Buenos Aires. He was not even at La Recoleta Cemetery. I found merely a mirror and a face staring at me in disbelief. It's hard to believe. Everyone told me Borges lived in Argentina.
We have come, unfortunately, to the end of our program. Will you read us a final poem?
Thank you, Grace. I would like to end this with Earth Anthem. I have been trying to get an anthem for our beautiful planet. And I wrote an anthem in 2008.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the process and what's happened to it.
Since then, it's been translated into more than 30 languages, global languages. And it's used by several schools across the world to celebrate Earth Day, World Environment Day, and any other global event where we need a common symbol, a common gathering point for all of us. And it's been composed by a violinist like Dr. L. Subramanyam. And it's been put to, also set to orchestra, and Philharmonic Orchestra of Brasilia has performed it.
Was that thrilling to hear?
Yes, and if I can share the anthem, the words of the anthem which I wrote in 2008 when I was in St. Petersburg, Russia. Earth Anthem. Our cosmic oasis, cosmic blue pearl, the most beautiful planet in the universe. All the continents and all the nations, united we stand as flora and fauna. United we stand as species of one earth. Diverse cultures, beliefs, and ways. We are humans. Earth is our home. All the people and all the nations, one for all and all for one. United we unfurl the blue marble flag.
The last line again.
United we unfurl the blue marble flag.
The blue marble flag.
Yes, that's blue marble is an image of Earth taken from Apollo. And this was the first image of Earth taken from space, which we could see. And when I saw that, you know, our beautiful planet from space, I could not stop writing a poem. And how beautiful is our planet? And this is all we have. There's no second home for us. This is ours. This is a beautiful home we have. And we today, with climate change and ecological crisis we face, the pollution we face, we must work together to preserve this beautiful planet.
That is the voice of Abhay K. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Witter Binner Foundation for Poetry and the Reva and David Logan Foundation, with additional support from the Sinipid Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.